Good afternoon. I'm joined in studio today by Shane Murphy, who is a psychotherapist, and Dr. Declan Matthews, who is a GP. And we're going to have a little chat today about mental health and the effects the pandemic has had on people's mental health. Shane, I'm going to start with you. Has the pandemic created more problems with mental health?
Definitely. You know, I think it's put a big focus on people, and people have had to kind of really look at themselves, and they can see an awful lot of problems that they wouldn't normally see. It's really got them to slow down and look at their feelings and their emotions. And in some respects, it's good. But in other respects, when they don't know how to handle it, they're really struggling with it. And they don't know whether they're feeling anxiety or depression. And it's feelings that have always been there, but they just really have never experienced it before. So I definitely think people are struggling. There's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of sadness, and there's a lot of emotions going everywhere.
Okay. And Declan, what about you? Are you seeing a lot of it in the surgery?
We absolutely are. It's quite a problem. As I say, like Shane, we have noticed an awful increase in the amount of people with mental health issues. Certainly, we've noticed an awful lot of people in their late teens, early 20s, far more than we'd ever get in that age group. They're not normally the age group that we see, but we're seeing an awful lot of them. And in fact, as I say, without always easy access to therapy and to counselling, sometimes we're ending up prescribing more for these patients than we ever feel comfortable in doing. They're not a group that we would normally be prescribing to, but we have ended up doing it a lot. But we're also seeing problems with the elderly, although the elderly seem to be holding up fairly well. I think it's just the interminable times frame on the whole thing. We haven't a clue when we're going to be out of this thing, and that sort of uncertainty people do not like.
Yeah. And Shane, are you seeing patients at the moment?
Yeah, I'm seeing patients, private patients at the moment, both in the city and here in Youghal. And I suppose, you know, like as Dr. Matthews was just saying there, you know, I mean, I suppose that definitely the younger people I'm noticing, I think because routine is so important and routine is completely thrown out by this, that, you know, the younger people are really struggling with routine. You know, I'm definitely seeing a huge amount of anger and resentment coming towards this. And I suppose the problem with resentment is if you've no one to target it at, you know, usually if you're angry at, you know, your father, or you're angry with your coach. But with this pandemic, they've no one to actually direct their anger at. And they're getting really more and more frustrated, and they don't understand why they're frustrated. And I'm just seeing a huge amount of anxiety, depression in younger people that they should never have to experience this. They should never shouldn't even really have to worry about any of this until in the future. But it's definitely a major, major struggle at the moment. And I'm seeing more and more, as Dr. Matthews is saying, I'm seeing more and more young people coming to me that I would never have seen, you know, 15, 16 years of age coming to me now and really struggling with what's going on in their lives.
And do you think this will be a long-term thing for them, or something that they might...
Well, yeah, I think this is going to be huge. I think this is going to be absolutely colossal. Like, I mean, you know, I mean, when you think about even in the last year, how much schooling they've missed, how much they're building up attachments with their peers, they're building up an attachment with the people that they actually, their friends, and they're missing out on their friends, and they're missing out on the social skills that we all develop inside in school. They won't have those social skills when they go out into the world. They will struggle with a huge amount of social anxiety. And I definitely think that this is going to be a tsunami of problems as time goes on.
Okay. Declan, how do you treat these young people now? Like, I mean, what's the best treatment for them?
That's very good. Talking to them is talk therapy is the best therapy of all, and Shane, I'm sure, will agree with that. You talk to them, see where the problems lie, see where the problems are going, decide if this is sort of just a mild sort of a reaction to the situation, or are they becoming more deeply depressed or something like that, or are they presenting with some other sort of illness, psychiatric illness or something like that. But as I said, the ideal is talk therapy. Occasionally, if that fails or if they're very severely ill, we may have to go on to medication therapy. And as I've said already, normally as a GP, I would never prescribe an antidepressant to a 16, 17, 18 year old. But I've had in the last year had to do that. We don't love doing it. We would normally, in that age group, refer them to a consultant pediatric psychiatrist. And if they felt that they needed medication, they would do it. But just because of the situation, and because, as Shane said, the tsunami of problems that has occurred, we're ending up having to treat people that we don't necessarily feel comfortable. But look, the most important treatment is talk. Talk, talk.
Okay, and Shane, obviously that's your line, talk therapy, but if you felt that a patient of yours needed something extra, like how do you advise them?
Well, I suppose, you know, I mean, sometimes you do have clients who are really struggling so badly and, you know, talk therapy works, but it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a magic pill and it takes time to work through it. So I would refer them to a doctor and get them to have a look at them and see if they would prescribe a tablet because, you know, antidepressants do work. They do work in the short term. They help the product in a short term, but talk therapy actually helps in the long term and helps them to actually figure out what feelings and emotions that are going on for them. So I suppose, you know, when they're really struggling, and that's a last resort, like as Dr. Matthews said, it is a last resort to refer any teenager or any child to antidepressants, but, you know, it does help, and it does help in the short term.
Okay, and Declan, are you finding people are more open coming about mental health, or is there still a bit of a stigma attached to it?
People are still very reluctant to come and talk about their health. They would prefer to stay at home, especially teenagers prefer to stay at home on their PlayStation all day and just stay in their rooms. And you would imagine that that sort of, for some of them, would be an ideal scenario, but it isn't. They don't necessarily like that. They need to talk, but it's hard to get them to talk. Generally, what you find is a parent will come, usually present for them, or an aunt or an uncle, or somebody they're close to that has noticed that they're struggling, will present or will present with them or will ring us up and we'll sort of say, look, I need to see that patient. I need them to sit down in front of me and see exactly how they are.
And would you recommend your patients to see a counsellor?
I would, absolutely. Yeah. And even those patients that we've talked about where I feel that I would need to prescribe an antidepressant, it's still vital that they get talk therapy as well. Because as Shane says, it's only part of our armament giving drugs in these situations. People then are often worried that if we do give them medication and we do give them drugs, are they going to be addicted to them? These drugs that we use in these situations, they're not Valium, they're not Xanax, they're nothing like that. They're antidepressants, they're non-addictive, and people will have no problem coming off them when it's time to come off them. But during that phase when they're being treated and when they come off them, it's a good time for the talk therapy as well.
Okay, and Shane, what advice now could you give to people that maybe are reluctant to come and speak to somebody?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, as Dr. Matthews said, I mean, I suppose the parents that are really the ones that notice the struggle, notice that there's something going on, and obviously, like, reach out and try and talk to someone. You know, as Dr. Matthews is saying, you know, mental health is still a huge stigmata in this country. You know, people really do struggle with it, but I definitely see a huge more awareness around it. There's way more people talking about mental health. When you have your politicians talking about the fact that we're actually going to have a lot of mental health problems going forward, it's really put a forefront on it. You know, I mean, you know, psychotherapy, you know, even this time last year, people wouldn't even have known what psychotherapy is. Now, I'd say you're talking maybe 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 would actually talk about mental health now at the moment. And I suppose the positive thing, I suppose, coming up out of the younger people is that they're actually aware of mental health. You know, this time last year, this time 2 years ago, a lot of teenagers wouldn't understand mental health, wouldn't know what mental health even is. You know, I've worked with a good few younger people, 15, 16 years of age at this stage, and they actually have an appetite to change. They want to change. They know that something is going on. One of the key things I would actually mention to them is that one of the things that actually works is if they can talk openly and honestly, you know, with their family. You know, talk about your feelings, talk about your emotions, because this is the biggest struggle that they have. They have these feelings, they have these emotions. They don't know what they are. And I suppose, you know, as people say, like around parents, you know, there's no handbook with it, you know. So, I mean, even the parents are struggling with it because they don't know about feelings and emotions. So it's all about learning. It's all about changing. It's all about retraining your mind. And that, you know, I notice a big effect that am I working with the teenager, but I'm working with the parents as well. And that's one key thing that I do. You know, I don't just talk to the teenager. I would bring the whole family in and we would sit down and we would talk about feelings and emotions and talk about what's going on. So that really, really works. And it's definitely something that actually works going forward, you know.
Yeah. Declan, are you worried the longer that this lockdown goes on, people are going to start struggling more and more?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people are going to start struggling more and more. I think there's going to be a long sort of a sequelae from this thing. One of the things that we'll say we've done during this last year is we've thrown billions, and that's probably not an exaggeration, at COVID and at everything we've done, we need now start thinking about what are we going to do with our mental health services from here on in. We need to start to have the same attitude. We need to sort of throw money at it and deal with it. Up to now, it's been a very sort of underfunded area. It's an area that's going to have to be looked at. It's an area that's going to have to be treated correctly from here on in.
Yeah, because I know you mentioned to me before, community nurses, psychiatric nurses that used to call to people's houses, that service is gone now, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's back again, which is great. We had a little fight, we had a little argument, we wrote letters, nasty little letters to the people who nasty little letters seem to matter to, mm-hmm. and actually they brought back the East Cork Home Care team, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that's a great service. Shane, do you think maybe with the better weather and stuff coming in, people might get out more and it might lift people's spirits a little bit?
Well, yeah, that will work, but I suppose with depression, you know, and I mentioned on my own talk with Eric around depression, you know, and I mean, depression is depression, and if you're feeling sad, and that regardless of what the weather is going on out there, you know, you'll feel a little bit of a boost, like, but you'll dip back into that sadness, you know. I mean, you know, we have this old Irish saying that, you know, just snap out of it, but with depression, you're not just going to snap out of it. Like, it is that constant sad feeling, you know. The best way people describe it to me is that you feel flat. And then you feel less than flat. You really dip down into that sadness. And regardless of what the weather is like outside, it could be, you could be living in Spain and it could be 32 degrees outside and you still won't want to go outside because you've really dipped into that sadness. And the only way to come out of that sadness is to talk about it. Talk about your feelings. You know, depression comes around actually suppressing your feelings and your emotions. And most people have been suppressing them all their lives. And they're just not aware of it and they don't know how to actually pull themselves out of it. So, you know, coming in and talking to me or talking to another psychotherapist around it, you know, it really does help. Like, you know, it really, a lot of people, especially Irish people, struggle with psychotherapy because, you know, they're saying, oh, but should we all talk? We're great talkers. We're fantastic talkers. Irish are brilliant talkers. We're great talkers. But we're not great at talking about what we need to talk about, which is our feelings and emotions.
Okay. And finally, Declan, can somebody cure themselves of depression without help?
Certainly, we would have people who come to us who are sort of sad, may not be really sort of majorly clinically depressed. And certainly, just talking to them, we sort of, that sort of person we would have a long, long conversation with, or Shane would have a long conversation with. We might decide to see them a week or so later again and see how they're doing. And sometimes people sort of say, no, I feel better after talking to you. In fact, I'm beginning to get better. And we would notice that. But look, the most important sort of thing to take out of today, I think, is both for Shane and for myself, the hardest part of the whole journey, if you're feeling down, is to actually present it to somebody, is to actually tell somebody, I'm feeling down. It's to actually go to Shane or go to me. It's where they will sort of maybe approach you, your building, half a dozen times and walk away and not come back and walk away and not come back. That's the hardest part. But once they present and once they sit down, life gets easier after that.
Yeah, and you would hear somebody saying, like, when they finally told someone, it was like a weight lifted off them. Do you know?
Yeah, and I think that's very, very true, because they're feeling down. Their confidence is gone. They have no confidence in their own self. They feel you're either going to laugh at them or you're not going to believe them, or they feel they're going to be talking about their emotions, and that's not something we as Irish people are great at doing. And yet they sit down and talk to somebody who understands them, who knows what they're going through, and who is there to help them.
Okay, Shane, have you anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, the burden is the big thing, really. Like, I suppose I noticed that my clients, the amount of times that my clients come into me and then they just actually, once they get talking, once they've built up the trust with me after 3 or 4 sessions and they suddenly start talking and explaining what's going on in their minds, and bear in mind what they've put into their mind, I suppose my favourite word is catastrophization. They've really built up what's going on in their mind to think that it's the most horrible thing on the planet. And then they tell you about it and they actually let it go. And you can actually visibly, I can actually see people that are in front, sitting in front of me, and suddenly you can see them getting lighter, see that lift coming off them. So really, as Dr. Matthews was saying, the key is to pick up the phone, ring somebody and tell them that you're struggling with this. You know, you won't be judged. That is the key thing, I suppose. That's the one thing that people think, that they're going to be judged. If someone actually rings up and says, you know what, I'm struggling with this, I don't know what's going on. And the other key thing is, no matter how small you think it is, it's holding you back. It's actually causing pain. It's causing trauma to yourself. So no matter how small you think it is, just pick up the phone and ring someone and talk to someone and actually say, this is what I'm struggling with. Is there anything you can do to help me with?
Okay. Just the last thing to you, Declan. Are you frustrated as a GP at the lack of mental health services in this country?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a fairly brief answer, I'm afraid, but absolutely, and have been for years and years and years. As I say, things like the East Cork Home Care Team and that has helped an awful lot. But we need more access to psychological therapies. We need more access to that. We don't have easy access to that. And we need access to that. That would cut down on our having to prescribe a lot more, which, as I say, that's beneficial if you don't have to prescribe.
Okay. Guys, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks very much.